Oh, your voice is on.
Reading Unit 2, Lesson 4 of our Open Court Stories. So please turn to page 128 in your books and we'll get started. When you hear this sound, you are going to turn to the next page in your story. Focus questions. How and why did Native Americans study the skies? What do Native American observatories tell us about how these people lived and adjusted to their natural environment? Circles, Squares, and Daggers, How Native Americans Watched the Skies, by Elsa Marston. You have probably heard about stargazers of the past, such as the ancient Egyptians, the builders of Stonehenge, and the Mayas. Did you know that Native Americans, too, made astronomical observatories long before Europeans arrived? The study of these ancient observatories is called archaeoastronomy. By combining astronomy with archaeology, we are beginning to understand how people of the past observed the skies. Archaeoastronomy is a very new field. The Native American observatories have been discovered, or their purposes understood, only recently. Most of the sites have been abandoned centuries ago, and their original uses have been forgotten. Let's look at some of the different ways Native Americans devised to follow the movements of the sun, and in certain cases, the stars. Medicine Wheels. One of the most dramatic observatories lies on a windswept plateau high in the Bighorn Mountains of Wyoming. It is simply a circle of stones that looks something like a wheel, 80 feet across. In fact, it's called the Bighorn Medicine Wheel. Medicine means holy or supernatural. In the center of the wheel is a large pile of stones called a cairn. 28 lines of stones lead like spokes from the hub to the rim. Just outside the circle stand 6 smaller cairns. Though the wheel had been known for about 100 years, it was not until the early 1970s that its secrets began to come clear. An astronomer, John Eddy, discovered how the wheel works. Caption to the left, the Bighorn Medicine Wheel. The diagram shows cairns marking sunrise and sunset of the summer solstice and the rising of the bright stars Aldebaran, Rigel, Sirius, and Formaldehyde. Picture beneath, Bighorn Medicine Wheel. If you stand at a particular small cairn on the day of the summer solstice, usually June 21st, you will see the sun rise directly over the large cairn in the center of the wheel. At the end of the day, standing at a different pile, you'll see the setting sun line up with the center cairn. The medicine wheel tells almost exactly when the longest day of the year has arrived, the day we say summer begins. The wheel shows other alignments as well. Pairs of small cairns were found to point to bright stars that shone briefly on the horizon on certain days before and after the summer solstice. These stars appeared roughly 28 days apart. Possibly the 28 spokes were supposed to help keep track of those intervals. The Bighorn Medicine Wheel was probably built around 1700. The Ponca tribe claims that its ancestors constructed the original wheel. Other tribes probably added to it after moving into the area. There is a similar medicine wheel in Saskatchewan, Canada. The Moose Mountain Medicine Wheel has cairns placed like those of the Bighorn Wheel. This gives a clue to its age. The point on the horizon where a star rises changes slightly over time. The wheel was dated by figuring out when bright stars rose closest to the point shown by the cairns. The calculations agreed with carbon dating for the site. The Moose Mountain Medicine Wheel was probably built around 2,000 years ago. Caption to the left. The diagram shows cairns marking sunrise on the summer solstice and the rising of the bright stars Capella, Aldebaran, Sirius, and Formaldehyde. Picture below. Moose Mountain Medicine Wheel. Circles and Squares. At Cahokia, a major Native American site in western Illinois, near St. Louis, archaeologists discovered traces of 4 large circles of wooden posts. They reconstructed part of one of these circles. Seen from the center at dawn, the sun lines up with certain posts at the summer solstice and winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, usually December 21st. A third post is aligned with the rising sun at the spring and fall equinoxes, usually March 21st and September 21st, when day and night are of equal length. Another observatory was discovered near Kansas City, Missouri, in the early 1980s. Again, traces of posts were found, but this time in the shape of a square. About 35 feet long on each side, the square suggested a building, such as a fort, except that the corners were open. A triangle of posts had stood in the center, and on the south side of the square was a double row of postmarks. A local astronomy society made a simple reconstruction of the square. They found that on the summer solstice, a person standing at a certain distance from the center posts could see the sunrise and set through two of the open corners. The other two corners framed the sunrise and sunset at the winter solstice. On the equinoxes, the sun shone directly between the double lines of posts. Both observatories were made by Native Americans of the Mississippian culture, probably about 1,000 years ago. Caption to the right. At Cahokia, the sun rises over a post marker at the equinox. The diagram shows posts marking sunrises at the summer and winter solstices. Picture below, Cahokia. Sun daggers. The Anasazi, a name that means simply ancient ones, lived in the beautiful but dry country of northern New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, and Arizona around 900 years ago. In Chaco Canyon, New Mexico, they designed an especially clever kind of observatory. It was discovered in 1977 by an artist, Anna Soferer, who was examining rock carvings. Near the top of the Fajada Butte, a high rock that rises from the canyon floor, three large slabs of stone lean against a vertical rock face. About 9 feet long, they stand on end, only a few inches apart, their narrow sides against the rock. On the shadowed rock behind them, two spirals have been cut. At noon on the summer solstice, a tiny shaft of sunlight falls between two of the slabs. It makes a spot that looks like a dagger, cutting right through the middle of the larger spiral. Diagram below. The solar marker in Chaco Canyon at noon on the summer solstice. Fall equinox, winter solstice, spring equinox. As the weeks pass, the dagger of sunlight moves to the right. Meanwhile, a second vertical streak of light appears. At the fall equinox, it cuts through the smaller spiral. By the winter solstice, the two daggers rest on the edges of the larger spiral. It's as though the spiral, now empty of sunlight, is a symbol of winter when the world is cold. Gradually then, the sun daggers move to the left, until, on the longest day of the year, the first one again strikes the center of the larger spiral. All over the southwest, there are many such figures, called petroglyphs, cut in the rock. Spirals, crosses, rough outlines of humans, lizards, birds, all had meanings. At many sites, the petroglyphs are touched by spots of sunlight, usually falling between two large rocks. Astronomer Robert Preston and his wife Anne, an artist, discovered many of these sites in Arizona. Light strikes the rock carving at the solstices, the equinoxes, or in some cases, a point halfway between the fall equinox and the winter solstice. Sunrooms. The Anasazi thought the other ways to observe the travels of the sun. Between Tucson and Phoenix, Arizona, rises a three-story adobe building known as Casa Grande, Great House. At dawn, a person standing inside this ancient structure will see the sun shining through a small hole high in the east wall. The spot of light strikes the opposite wall, moves toward a small hole in that wall, and disappears into it. The spot of sunlight hits this bullseye only on the days close to the spring and fall equinoxes. Caption at the lower right. Casa Grande, a little after dawn, at the time of the spring equinox, sunlight passes through the holes in two different walls, one behind the other. There is a different type of Anasazi sunroom at Hovenweep National Monument in Utah. Attached to a large stone structure called Hovenweep Castle is a tower-like room. At sunset on the solstices and equinoxes, the sun's rays enter small holes and a door, shine through the room, and strike doorways on the inside walls. The archaeoastronomer who studied Hovenweep Castle, Ray Williamson, determined that the beams of sunlight could not enter the room in this way merely by chance. Why? All over this country, Native Americans came up with ingenious ways to observe the skies. But why did they study astronomy? The skies were the Native Americans' calendar. They had no fixed written calendar as we do today. They relied on what nature would tell them about the changing times of the year. Important solar events, such as the solstices and the equinoxes, helped them know when to plant their crops, when to start preparing for the winter, when to move from one place to another. The sun and stars told Native Americans when important ceremonies were supposed to take place. These ceremonies were usually concerned with the return of the sun and the start of a new year, and with planting, harvesting, and hunting. Other special occasions might have been for social purposes, such as tribal rituals, gatherings of tribes, trade, or payment of tribute. For example, the most likely function of the Bighorn Medicine Wheel was to keep a calendar so large groups could assemble in summer for trading fairs. It's probable that only special persons knew how to use the observatories and make the announcements awaited by the people. The observatories must have strengthened the power of the chiefs and religious leaders. There is a deep religious meaning in Native American astronomy. The sun is a vital symbol in the beliefs of many Native American cultures. And something equally important, Native Americans' understanding of the heavens helped them feel in harmony with the universe, where in many Native American religions, human beings are only one small part of the world, living in peace with the rest of nature. Today we are coming to recognize Native Americans' achievements in astronomical knowledge and to appreciate the ways in which they use that understanding. That is the end of our story. Please turn back to page 128 and look at your focus questions once more.